Right now, it is time for Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio, a time where weekly we get together with Thorin Christendotter. We talk about what's going on in Main Street Magazine. Good morning, Thorin.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Hudson Valley, you know, there are two big things.
Mm-hmm.
Dutchess County Fair opens today.
Yes.
First time in 2 years, it's going to be a freewheeling, wide-open Dutchess County Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't realize it. This is the second biggest fair in New York State, attendance-wise.
Big one.
The only one that gets bigger than this is the New York State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
They say over 300,000 people come through the gates at the Dutchess County Fair every year. So it's nice. It's nice to have it back after 2 years, where people can just go and have a good time. And I know you've got a story about this in Main Street Magazine, and we've already been talking about the Hudson Valley, the rodeo is back this year.
The rodeo, yeah, it certainly is. You're talking about the Saddle Ridge one, right?
Yeah.
It's second year, and they're shaping up to be, you know, a great event, and they learned a lot last year, and it was a fantastic event last year, so I'm excited to go this year.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, with the rodeo, there's also a concert and more. It also benefits the Community Foundation that has been put together. So that's another big story with that rodeo, because that really was, especially for, I know it was planned by Silo Ridge, and the WDST got involved in helping and everything like that. But still, to put on something in the first year and have it so immensely successful.
No, it's fantastic.
It was good news. And so this year, expect it to be even better.
Well, there seems to be a lot going on the next, I don't know, 4 weeks, right? Between the fair and then Labor Day, you've got Lime Rock. Then you've got Community Day in Pine Plains. And then back at the fairgrounds, you've got the Food and Wine Festival at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds. And then, there's one more. And then the rodeo.
Yeah, and then you've got also Labor Day weekend, the Goshen Fair, the annual Goshen Fair here in Connecticut, mm-hmm. and also, which has come a long way in its time, the Columbia County Fair.
Almost forgot that.
Is also set in there. And this is the great thing about this year, and I've been beating this, but it's true, is this year I think people are much more unfettered. They're not worrying about COVID as much. There's still some precautions people should take, but people can actually go out and just plain have a good time.
Exactly, and all these events are outside, so that helps too.
Yeah, and it's just a nice release for people. All right, now I think I want to talk a little bit about this, mm-hmm. because it's interesting. There's good parts about it and bad parts about it. I think we might have spoke about it a little bit last week, but I want to touch on it again this week, and that is food waste. Mm-hmm. How you get rid of it. I know here at the transfer station, the Salisbury Sharon transfer station, about 8 or 9 months ago, they really gave out detailed instructions what to do with food waste. And it is a big problem, because I do recycle at my house, and I have three bins that I use. One is strictly for food waste,
mm-hmm.
and it can be anything from leftovers to, if I husk corn, corn husks, anything that has anything to do, even if it's a package that held frozen food, unless I can clean it out, the cellophane for that goes there because it's got food in it. Another one is for strictly paper, mm-hmm. whether it's corrugated paper and everything. And the other one is for recyclable cans and bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I can do it, anybody can do it. The title of your story is Taking the Waste Out of Food Waste, but it's an important thing, because not only is it good for the ecology, but it's now getting expensive for towns to get rid of their garbage.
It is. Yeah, Caleb penned this one-page article for us about it, and I forget now exactly what it was, but he references a specific event over there in Connecticut, that's, I think, what you're talking about with the transfer station is what kind of prompted him with this idea. But he kind of walks you through, you know, what the problem at hand is, the solution, and you know, some ideas about it. But you know, some people compost, and you know, we have a different article about that. But there's different ways to do that. There's different ways to recycle your food waste, and as you said, you know, divvy up your garbage and put each one in the appropriate recyclable area, whether it just be plain old garbage or food waste or plastics or otherwise.
And I don't put my garbage doesn't go out until the morning I leave on garbage day, because the bears are just too hungry. So yes, I keep it someplace in the house that's out of the way. And then on garbage day it goes. And I also bring it to the transfer station occasionally when I have to. But, you know, if you leave anything out, if you put it out, if your garbage pickup is on Thursday and you put it out on Wednesday, it's going to be knocked over. You know, it's just they're hungry and they want to eat, and you're supplying them a drive-thru.
that's a good way to put it, drive-thru. I like that.
I laughed and nearly cried when I saw your story, Time to Go Tubing.
Oh, yeah?
Years ago, in my second marriage, my wife decided to take her family tubing. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I got to work. I can't go. Thank God. So they tubed the Housatonic, but the Housatonic was low at the time. They didn't get back home till 7 o'clock at night.
Oh my God!
Because they had to walk a lot to get to, because the river was so low. I just remember that whenever I see a story on tubing, and I mean, I come from an area where when I lived in Kingston, tubing up from Boyceville and everything like that, it was a huge thing. But I get this is the time if you want to go tubing, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, Dominique set out. She actually went in end of June, beginning of July. End of June. And she lives up in, you know, towards Albany, actually. So she made a whole trek over there. And it takes you step by step to where she went, how it works, what you have to do, and kind of what she saw along the way. And when I read it and I emailed her back, I'm like, you know, that sounds really fun. And a little bit of an adventure, and, you know, to do something a little different. Long as the river's not low, right?
But, well, that's the whole thing about being prepared to know about it. Like, around here, you can call the tubing folks on Route 7. You can call in advance and see, okay, how's the river? Where's the position where we can start and where we can end, and we won't run into real low? I mean, you can prepare for that well in advance. Mm-hmm. And today you can make it. The whole thing about our area, which is great, is that there's so many now breweries that have beer pubs and stuff. You can make your day where a portion of it's tubing, and you can go and you can explore these restaurants and other pubs and stuff that are in our area.
Exactly. And that's precisely what Dominique did afterwards. She shares where she went, what she ate, what she drank, who she met, and so it seemed, you know, she made a whole day out of it.
All right. Now, how'd you make a story about decay?
Well, Lorraine did a fantastic job with that. Yes. She talked with some of the folks over at the Carey Institute and was talking about decay, about oh my goodness, I'm blanking on the word we just used before, composting, and just, you know, how it works, why it works, why we should, you know about it, how we should do our part with it. And food waste is definitely one part of it, but, you know, then she breaks it down into green matter, brown matter, and you know, what not to compost, and you know, all the things thereof, and how it actually all works. And it was quite an interesting, in my opinion, at least.
It's a great story, because for the people that that try to compost try to follow those instructions, you have a very simple chart that you put up, like you just said, green and brown. What can I compost? And it really is just that one chart alone. If you take it and you hang it up, and you go to compost, you know what's right and what's wrong.
Exactly. And those came from the Carey Institute as well, and they have, you know, great information and are super helpful with it. I think Lorraine actually said they have a YouTube couple of videos of it, actually. So if for those who are interested, they can check that out. I think we had a link there at the end of it. But as you were saying, it's important and to do our part, and everyone can do a little bit of something, and why not separate?
I love the thing in the do not compost, and just drives me crazy when people dog and cat poop. That's you don't put that in a compost pile. You don't. I mean,
No.
It's anti-compost, and things like onions, you learn because they're so acidic and stuff like that. Years ago, I did a composting outside, and the great thing in the wintertime is you constantly see steam coming from it.
Yes.
You see it working and evolving. So
all the microbes in there.
Yeah. And so that's a great story. It just opens that up to people with opens their eyes. So now we're at the third week of August. What do you have planned for the magazine for September?
Well, I'm putting the finishing touches on it right now. I'm hoping, here's fingers crossed that I actually get it to the printer today and not tomorrow. It's always a relief to get it, off my desk. And there's no theme in September. So everyone kind of had a free for all, but funny enough, I wrote my editor's note yesterday and I was referencing that, but it seems that a theme occurred, and that happens to be just community and activities, and with a splash of art. And so we have a lot of community-based things that are in there, such as the Food and Wine Festival at the Dutchess County Fairgrounds. Dominique has shared a great piece on that. We'll have a one-page piece on the Pine Plains Community Day that's back. It's going to be hopefully a great event for the community that they hope to continue on doing every year now, but it's been in hiatus since COVID. And then, we have. Of course, those are kind of focused on community as well as events, and we have a one-page piece also on the park in Millerton, which is having its grand opening soon, and then just some other great articles that have different topics and different focuses, and I hope there's something for everyone.
All right, that's Main Street Magazine for free pickup throughout the Tri-State region, and also mainstreetmag.com. Thorne, we'll speak to you again next week.
Sounds fantastic, and here's hoping for some more rain.
You're right. All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Thor and Kristen Dotter this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio with Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio. Of course, you'll find them at mainstreetmag.com on the web.